please. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for all Scripture given by inspiration of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word and you have preserved it unto this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this place you've given us to gather in. We thank you for every person who's in this building today. What a blessing it is to have them here. They are a blessing and they are yours. And Heavenly Father, they're special to you because Jesus came to die for them. Now, my Father, I pray you'd bless us as we worship. I pray you'd guide and direct us as we go through this day. And that, Lord, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd speak to our hearts and our minds and our lives. I pray you'd help us to understand, and that, Father, we might go from this place better than we came, more excited than we came, and more dedicated to live for God than we came. I just pray that, Lord, you'd do all things unto your good pleasing, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist in these two verses of Psalm number 107 calls upon a particular group of people to do a particular thing. That particular group of people, it says, are the redeemed. And that particular thing to do is actually two things. Number one, to give thanks unto God for his goodness and for his mercy. Look at verse 8. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think he's trying to help us understand something. He's good, he's merciful, and we should be praising him and thanking him for his goodness to us.
Amen.
The second thing this particular people are called to do is to testify of their redemption. Look at verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you appreciate your redemption?
Amen.
Do you appreciate it enough to say so? Now, I understand the context of the psalm. I understand the typologies. I understand the paradigm. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." It is this group of people mentioned in verse 2 that I would like to look at today. The group called the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord in the Old Testament refers to Israel, and the redeemed of the New Testament refers to the church. Today, we're going to look at the redeemed of the Lord in the New Testament. And you say, well, why only them? Well, because that's where we live. We live in the New Testament. We live in this day and age. We are the redeemed of the Lord. If we have been born again, if we've been saved, we're part of the New Testament. Redeemed. Now, there's something that we as human beings do not think about or truly understand. And that is the condition of our true estate as naturally born. The condition of our true estate from which we need to be redeemed. The word redeemed simply means to purchase away, to buy out of. When I go to the car dealership to purchase a vehicle, I purchase it away from the dealership. When I go to the grocery store and I buy groceries, I buy those groceries out of the ownership of the store. The Bible sense, redeemed means to be bought out of slavery or loss. A Jew could be purchased out of slavery by a sum at the hand of another. A lost heritage could be purchased away from someone else who had legal right to it by a near kinsman. When examining these passages, it becomes clear that biblical slavery often refers to an indentured servitude designed to address poverty or debt rather than a system of forced subjugation based on race or kidnapping. For example, Exodus 21 verse 2 states, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing." This indicates a cycle of limited service ending in release when the debt has been paid. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, taking someone by force for the purpose of enslaving them was punishable by death. "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." So such a regulation contrasts with many of the neighboring cultures where similar protections did not exist. The Bible is against forced slavery, but allows a person to sell themselves into slavery to pay a debt. But once the debt was paid, they were set free. There is a slavery into which every human being is born, a slavery to sin. In Romans chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." What? When did that take place? When was I ever sold under sin? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" This originally took place in the Garden of Eden when Adam, the federal head of the human race, yielded himself to sin by obeying Satan and thereby became a servant to both. He could have yielded to God and his righteousness and thereby becoming a servant of both. But he chose to be the servant of Satan and sin, obeying Satan's voice instead of obeying God's voice. You following me? And the human race has been born into slavery ever since. But wait a minute. Wasn't slavery only for a certain period of time or for an amount of debt? Yes. But there was a third way a person could get out of slavery, and that's by death. I guess when you die, you ain't no servant no more. But here's the problem. Number one, no person can pay for their own sin debt because we are spiritually bankrupt. We are sinners ourselves. Number two, no person can pay for the release of another because slaves have nothing with which to pay for the release of another slave. We're all in the same boat. You can't pay for your sin. You can't pay for my sin. I can't pay for your sin. Why? Because we're all slaves to sin. That's why. Well, what about that number three? Death could not release us because man is an eternal soul and the soul never dies. So sin drags us into its eternal clutches and holds us forever in the lake of fire, which is the end result of being its slave. You following me so far? And this is the part that most don't think about or want to think about. This is the part which mankind has made all sorts of distractions and amusements to keep us from thinking about, and religions and philosophies to deceive us about. You see, you can be religious but not redeemed. You can be a moral person, but not redeemed. You can be a good people, but not redeemed. You can be successful, but not redeemed. The good news is stated in Job chapter 19, verse 25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." You know, Job's the oldest book in the Bible, by the way. And do you know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's talking about the second coming of Christ, when Christ the Redeemer will stand on this earth in the latter days. There is a Redeemer who has stepped forward, who is able to purchase us away from the devil and buy us out from under sin. And that Redeemer is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 4. "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." This is the one of whom John wrote in the book of Revelation, the one who sits on a throne and of whom the seraphims cry, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the one that Peter mentioned when he was preaching in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's the one that Thomas spoke to in John chapter 20 and verse 28. "And Thomas answered and said unto him," that's Jesus, "my Lord and my God." Amen. This Redeemer, this Lord, this Christ, this God is Jesus. My first point today is this: redeemed by Psalm 107, look at verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It is the Lord that does the redeeming. He alone could pay the price. Remember, if a Jew was a slave because of his indebtedness and someone else could pay the price, he could go free. Someone else would pay the debt, he could go free. And Jesus paid the price. For he's the only one who could pay the price of, number one, a sinless life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understands everything you go through. He's been here. He's been in the flesh. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He's the only one since Adam that's walked the face of the earth in human flesh without sin. So he could offer a sinless life. Number two, he could offer a sinless death. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life." And so God says here that we were redeemed, or we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Only a perfect and sinless death could be the result of a perfect and sinless life. Number three, sinless blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." He's saying here that we are redeemed from that old religion, we're redeemed from them old philosophies, we're redeemed from those old traditions that we received from our fathers, "but not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ." Amen. "As a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, we're redeemed by the blood. Sinless blood of a sinless life given in a sinless death. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying that thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, here it comes, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 10, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see, all the sacrificial giving in the Old Testament, all the calves and the bulls and the goats and all the blood that was shed could never take away sin. But the giving of his life and the shedding of Christ's blood could take away sin. I'm going to try to illustrate that for you with this little box of Eltoid. Curiously strong. This is sin, all right? And this is me. And so there's sin. And sin separates us from our God. Here's God. Why can't I have relationship and fellowship with God? Because there's sin in the way. And so the blood of bulls and goats covered the sin. But every year, but they had to keep offering them because they couldn't take away. The sin's still there. It's just covered up, right?
That's right.
So when Jesus came, he didn't just cover it up. You know what Jesus did? He took it away.
Right.
And now there's nothing between me and God. Amen. That one thing that kept me from God, that Jesus, by his blood, took it away.
Right.
Number four, not only was there a price paid, but there was a resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He could have done all that, but if he didn't rise from the dead, there'd be no redemption. And what if we... And we've been redeemed to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, only the sinless Lord, the Son of God and God the Son, could pay the redemption price. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. Same concept, a payment. A ransom. For many. How many? But as many as received him. That's how many. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation, same concept. Redeemed, reconciled, ransom, propitiation. 1 John chapter 4 again, verse 4. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Something had to be done about the sin.
That's right.
Which we were born under. Which we were in slavery to. A price had to be paid to buy us out from under. A propitiation had to be made to purchase us away from. But nobody in heaven or on earth could do it. Except God Himself. He's the only one who's holy, holy, holy. And He came to earth and became a man. And in the flesh was holy, holy, holy. Never sinned. And gave His life and rose from the dead to take away sin. And that moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the sin is removed. And you can have fellowship with God the Father. Isn't that wonderful? You see, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But number two, we've been redeemed from. Remember, to buy out, to purchase away. We've been redeemed from. What are we redeemed from? Well, number one, we're redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And so we've been redeemed, the Bible says, from the curse. What is the curse? Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We've been not only redeemed from the curse, but we've been redeemed from the law. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We've been redeemed from under, you know what, under the law. You know what the law, kept us down. The law kept showing us and that we were sinners, right? We're already sinners. The sin's there. What did the law do? It just showed us. It just proved to us. Didn't have to prove anything to God, but it proved to us, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are unclean. Yes, there's none righteous, no, not one. Yes, there is none that doeth good. Yes, God's true, and we are sinners. But He redeemed us from under that law. Because now, He fulfilled all the law. And in Christ, I am free from the condemnation of the law.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Number four. We have been redeemed from iniquity. Titus 2:4. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We have been redeemed from all iniquity. In other words, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we've been redeemed from all iniquity.
Amen.
Number five. We have been redeemed from this body of flesh. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. You see, my soul is redeemed. My soul has been redeemed from all iniquity. But I still got this old flesh, this body. This body of flesh. But one of these days, and He said, we're waiting for it. What? The redemption of the body. One of these days, this body is going to be taken out of this world. This world will not have this body any longer. The earth will no longer have my body. You see, when I die, the earth still gets me. Right? The earth has me because I'm stuck here. I got gravity. I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck on this planet. And when I die, my body's stuck on this planet. But there's coming a day when Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ shall rise first. My friend, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and show so we ever be with the Lord. This we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For this mortal must put on immortality. I'm waiting for the redemption of the body. I'm already redeemed in my soul, but one of these days, I'm going to have the redemption of the body. Number six, we are redeemed from the grave. Psalm 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Whoa, that's, I just told you about it. One of these days, a grave, if Jesus doesn't come first, a grave is going to swallow me up and hold me. But Jesus is coming. And he's going to redeem me from the grave. He's going to pull me right out of that grave and receive me right to himself. And we're going to go on into heaven. And I hope you'll come with us. But if you're not saved, you're not coming with us. If you're not redeemed, you're not coming with us. And then number seven, we're redeemed from the enemy. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I understand the context. But my dear friend, 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. But I've been delivered from the hand of the enemy. Before I was saved, I was under his hand. I was in the control of his hand. But when I got saved, I was delivered from the hand of the enemy. I'm not his anymore. He doesn't have control of me anymore. He can't make me do anything anymore. If you're born again and you have been redeemed, you're redeemed from all this. Why? Because a price was paid. No wonder the psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We got a lot to say, amen? Amen? No wonder he wrote, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Aren't you glad? Then say so. Which brings me to number three. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're redeemed from all these things, but then we're redeemed to redeem. Once a person is redeemed by and redeemed from, he or she is redeemed to redeem. You know, as we read through the Bible, we find a myriad of places where the redemption of Christ is referenced. And we find of all those things from which we are redeemed, there are only two instances where the word redeemed or redeem is used in reference to our responsibility. Number one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, God said, I redeemed you. Now you redeem the time. I bought you. I purchased you out from under. I purchased you away from. Now I want you to purchase, if you will, time out from under, away from. What does that mean? We can redeem the time that we have here on earth by using it and the opportunities it presents to do good where evil would have been if we weren't ourselves redeemed. Did you follow that logic? Y'all look like saying, what? I'll read it for you again. We can redeem the time that we have on earth by using it and the opportunities it presents, listen, to do good where evil would have been if we weren't ourselves redeemed. In other words, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't be up here. I'm redeeming the time right now. I could be doing something else, but I'm redeeming the time. Why? Because I'm redeemed. And if I hadn't been redeemed, there'd be some evil going on instead of preaching going on. You follow that? Okay. The days on planet Earth have always been evil. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. But the days on Earth have always been evil. The sins and reprehensible things of the fathers have been perpetuated by the sons. Right? A vicious cycle of violence, wickedness, and evil repeats itself generation after generation. You'd think, after all these generations, we'd have gotten a handle on this stuff. But we haven't gotten a handle on anything as human beings. We haven't eradicated any sin. We haven't eradicated any crime. We haven't eradicated any evil propensities. Everything that was evil then is still evil today. We haven't done anything to move forward. But once a person is saved and born of the Spirit of God, that cycle's broken.
Yes, sir.
You see? My father was a sinner, and my father raised a son who is a sinner, and this sinner would have raised his children as sinners, and my children would raise their children as sinners, and it would go on and on and on. But Jesus stepped into my life, and he saved me, and he broke the cycle. And now the time that would have perpetuated the sins of the Father are now able to be redeemed for the glory of God. A new creature emerges with a new life that's lived in a new way. We can choose to do good or evil. And because we're born again, we can do good where evil once was inevitable. We should be conscious of time and the opportunities that it affords us to do the right thing. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's redeeming the time. You know, you can redeem the time by reading your Bible in the morning. What are you going to do with that time? Redeem it. Read your Bible. You can redeem your time by prayer, right? Why? Because the days are evil. I need to be reading my Bible. The days are evil. I need to be in prayer. Instead of doing what I used to do before I was saved when I got up in the morning, now I'm going to get up and have some prayer and have some Bible. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And if I don't redeem the time, then that which is not good will take its place. We each have so much time allotted to us, and we should, as children of God, use it wisely. We should make the most of time and make our time here on earth count for Christ. There's so much evil in the days in which we live that our Lord must endure in love, and we in love should give him some good things to see in these evil days. I don't know how he puts up with us. I don't know how he can look at this planet and not burn it to a cinder in the very next second. All he has to see and hear. Let's give him some good stuff to look at. Let's give him some redeemed time, some redeemed words, some redeemed doings that he can rejoice in. Redeeming the time for the days of evil. And then lastly, number two, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time toward them that are unsaved, them that are without. They're outside the fold of God. They're outside the redemptive work of Christ. They're outside of the church of the born again. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This is referring to our lifestyle before men. Verse 6 of Colossians chapter 4 says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So what's he saying? He's saying walk in wisdom toward them that are without. All right? Walk in such a way, have such a life, that you're ready, the very next verse, to answer them that ask you about the reason of the hope that's in you. This is part of witnessing. It's part of soul winning. It's part of getting the gospel to the lost. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Why would anyone ask you of your hope of Christ which is in you if they could not see and hear that hope in your speech and in your life? You know what that verse is telling me and telling us? It's saying we should be redeeming the time in such a way that people know there's something different. That people see there's something different, hear there's something different, and actually are moved to ask you about it. Why are you like that? How come you don't talk like everybody else? You know, potty mouth. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Well, let me tell you about the hope that's in me. We should be involved in redeeming the time. That's part of our personal witness. How can you redeem the time in such a way? Well, going to church. That's how you redeem the time. You know, before I was saved, I didn't go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. I didn't do that. Do you ever think your neighbors might be saying, what are they doing over there? Going to church. Oh. What are they doing over there? Going to church. Again? Yeah, they're going to church again. Did they just go this morning? Yeah, they're going tonight too. I don't know. What are they doing over there? Going to church. It's Wednesday. What do you mean they're going to church? Who goes to church on Wednesday? I don't know, but they're going to church on Wednesday. That's redeeming the time toward them that are without. Instead of playing bingo on Wednesday night, go to church. How about praying at restaurants? And I don't mean like, amen. I'm not saying this either. Dear Lord, we're about to eat. Would you bless our meal? No. Those are two extremes, aren't they? But when people see you bow your head and pray, that's different. My wife and I were praying one time at a restaurant. A lady came up to us. She says, are you Christians? We said, yeah. Oh, so am I. You know, I just moved to town. I'm looking for a good church. You know one I can go to? I said, yeah, I happen to know one. She came to church. Her family got saved. It was exciting. See, that's redeeming the time. All right. How about handing out tracts, redeeming the time? How about honesty and industry in the workplace? How about raising your children to respect people and worship God? That's redeeming the time. How about the things that you don't do and the things that you don't say and the places that you don't go? That's all part of your testimony. It's all part of redeeming the time toward them that are without. How about giving a verbal witness of salvation? I think that's part of letting the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sometimes we're just too afraid to mention Jesus. We're too afraid to sound like a Christian out in public. We've been dealing with, you know, I deal with a lot of business people with all kinds of different things. And you have to just say, well, praise the Lord. What? Or you just say, well, you know, God's been so good. He's enabled us to do this. Or how about, well, I have to pray about that. I have to talk to the Lord about that. What? What are you talking about, talk to the Lord about that? Just make a decision, yes or no. Why? I got to talk to the Lord about it. Why? Let me tell you why. Redeem the time toward them that are without. They need to see us and hear us redeeming the time, being different. Soul winning and witnessing with life and lip and literature are all part of redeeming the time. God has given you a new life. Make the most of it. God has given you freedom from the power of sin. Make the most of it. He has given you opportunities. Make the most of them. He redeemed you because he loves you. Redeem the time because you love him. In order to redeem you, he paid a price. And redeeming the time will often require a price. You could be doing that, but you're redeeming the time. You could be going there, but you're redeeming the time. You could be spending this on something, but you're redeeming the time. Amen. Redemption is what he gives you. Redeeming the time is what you give him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Maybe you're here today as a Christian. Simple questions this morning. Are you redeeming the time? Is it a matter of your consciousness? Do you think about it? If you're not, then start today. And maybe today, dear Christian, you need to step up your game, so to speak. And maybe today you need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be about the business of redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I need to redeem the time toward them that are without so they can see you and hear you in me. And perhaps you're here today and you've never even been born again. You're not redeemed. You haven't been purchased away. You've not been bought back because you haven't accepted the price. You see, redemption is available to all, but only actual to those who believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the calling on the name of the Lord is faith put into action. It's receiving the payment on your account. Maybe today there's someone in this auditorium who would say, preacher, I need to be redeemed. I need to surrender to the Lord Jesus and trust him as my Savior and call upon him to redeem me so that I can be forgiven and go to heaven. I'd like to do that this morning. And if you'd like to do it this morning, right in your seat, you can. I'd like to help you if you'd let me. You say, preacher, I'd like to get saved today. I'd like to trust Christ today. I'd like to be redeemed right here in my seat by faith in Christ. Anybody like that here? I know you've been religious. I know you've gone to church. Maybe you've been baptized or confirmed or whatever all that stuff is. But have you been redeemed? None of that matters until the price is put on your account, the payment. You say, preacher, I want to trust Christ to pay my sin debt right now. Anybody else? Anybody like that at all? Just slip your hand up. We'll pray together, just you and I. Anybody like that today? Preacher, I'll pray with you. I see a hand. Thank you. Okay, I'll pray with you. Anybody else? All right, I want you to understand this isn't a magic prayer. It's not a formula. It's a prayer of faith. If you believe what you're going to pray in your heart, God sees that as faith. So say something like this to God. Say, dear God, I confess I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. But I believe that Jesus came and died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for my sins and rose again. And right now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Savior. I'm trusting what you did for me as the payment of my sin. And I'm asking you to redeem my soul right now. Did you pray that prayer? Did you mean it in your heart? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, on the authority of God's word. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, he saved you. You've been redeemed and forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven, and you're my sister in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for a day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your redemption work through Christ, the only Redeemer, and he lives, and he will stand on the earth at that last day. Thank you, my Father, that we can have these truths and keep them in our heart and know them and trust them because they're in your infallible and inspired word. Thank you for that one who trusted Christ today. Bless and give assurance. And Father, if there's anyone else in this room that needs to be saved today, may they take care of that before they walk out of these doors. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Help us to redeem the time so others might get saved and you might be pleased. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 585. And as we sing this hymn, I'm going to ask you to do something. You're here this morning as a Christian, and maybe you'd like to come this morning and just spend a moment with the Lord. Say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for paying the price for my soul. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and say, Lord, I need to start being better at redeeming the time. Maybe this morning you got saved. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take your courage in both hands and come up and meet me at the front, and let's tell everybody so Jesus gets all the glory. All right? If you got saved today, meet me at the front. If you have questions about how to be saved, meet me at the front. If you want to talk to Jesus, he's right waiting to hear from you. Let's sing.